Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 2 of the Am I Gay podcast with me, your host, Mackenzie Killow. And oh my God, last week we were treated so well. I mean, Dr. Ellen McWhorter was just such a lovely, lovely guest to have. I personally took away a lot from the conversation. I'm sure everyone else did too. But we're in for another treat this week with one of Dr. Ellen McWhorter's students, Megan Hayes, who is an honor student at Merrimack. They went to the NWSA. And on top of speaking a little bit at the NWSA, which we just heard about, they also just have a really strong pull in advocacy for LGBTQIA plus matters and just kind of like advocacy in general for a bunch of other like topics such as like climate change and just equality for all. And just they are such a driven human being, and I am so grateful to have my guest today, Meg Hayes. Welcome to today's episode of the Am I Gay podcast. Today we have my lovely, lovely guest, Meg Hayes. Meg, if you just want to introduce yourself a little bit, go over what pronouns you use, and just kind of tell my audience about who you are and why you said yes to coming on my podcast today.
Okay. Hi, I'm Meg. I use she, they pronouns. I am a third year or junior at Merrimack. I'm studying social justice, women's and gender studies, concentration in law and justice, and I am minoring in law, ethics, society, and environmental science and sustainability. It sounds like a lot. I know it sounds like a lot, but they're all so intertwined and they're all really big passions of mine. I guess about me, I feel like this is always the thing that catches people off guard. Being like the vulnerable, like how are people perceiving me? Like, how do I present myself? I feel like that's always going to be a bump. I think I'm a stubborn person by nature. When I get my feet in the mud, I will stand and sink. I am very loyal for that. If you hurt someone I love, it won't be good for you. And a lot of these traits were presented at a young age, and with my two parents and two older sisters, they all definitely make it known that I can see myself in the area of law and being a lawyer in the future. I can't say I've lost many arguments. I'm pretty proud of that. I'd love to go to law school in New England, really like my roots. I feel like New England's important to me, and especially Massachusetts. Sometimes I feel a little bit of pride, especially with our recent governor, Maura Healey, being the first lesbian governor.
Let's go.
That was a super, super exciting day. Not only we have a lesbian governor, but Michelle Wu in Boston, like two women in like the upper, like it's wonderful. It's great to see. I take a lot of classes in the feminist pedagogies, and I kind of think about a lot in my everyday life. So this, and being a queer person myself, like those two thought processes kind of go hand in hand. So I feel like this podcast was right up my alley. This coming on here, like I'm honored. I talk about this in my spare time. I'd love to talk about it. Not in my spare time in a setting like this. I'm honored that you asked me to come. Thank you.
I mean, how could I not? Whenever we're together, I feel like we just always have really like the deep conversations we have on top of like the silly nature that we can, like, I don't know. We're just we balance it really well. So I was just Meg needs to come on this podcast ASAP because I love hearing what you have to say about like feminist theory and like queer theory, and then just also like LGBTQ matters and stuff like that, and just kind of like all that stuff. It just, everything you say about it is so smart and so well thought out. That a little bit about your so just a little bit about how you kind of came to find out you were gay, if you're comfortable sharing that. And like honestly, like what you identify as. Obviously, you use she, they pronouns. Just your like sexual identity, if you're comfortable with that. If not, no worries.
Yeah. See, I would have a hard time talking about this, not for any emotional reasons, but I feel like when people talk about understanding their sexual identity and things kind of clicking into place and something triggering something to make your thoughts and feelings like actually come to fruition, I feel like I didn't have that. Mine was kind of a gradual, I guess, change. Recently talking with my family about just like nostalgic holidays, the holiday season, like a lot of people bring up family memories, and for some reason we got into talking about when I was younger being really, really obsessed with this high school basketball player while I was in elementary school, and I would beg my parents and my sisters to come with me to games, and had like a fat head of this person, just really excited to support them and be their friend. That's always the thought process when you're younger. I really want to be this person's friend. I really want to look like them, or I don't know what it is, but I'm jealous of them in some reason. And it was never a malicious wishing harm or wishing misfortune on anyone. It was always just the observing someone's energy and feeling really attached to that. And I didn't put that together that was attraction. Seeing the energy and for some people, like it's an aura, or with our generation, we say vibe, the kind of vibe you get from a person. And I feel like I appreciate how it's more common today to be more discreet about your sexuality, not in reaction to oppression, but more in a securement with yourself. I know Billie Eilish recently kind of made their sexuality clear, but by saying, yeah, like, isn't it obvious? Like, the air, like, it's in the air of me. I don't want to have to say it. So I kind of felt those feelings before coming out to my friends and family, and I didn't know how to put it together, and I had no one around me who I could see as being like me. So it was really hard. I was in a relationship that was not for me. And shortly after this relationship ended, the pandemic hit. So everyone was stuck inside and schools were canceled. And I remember we got the notice that we weren't going back to school on a Thursday. I had the SAT scheduled on that Saturday. Never took the SATs. That's a win. Never took the SATs. I barely even did the PSAT.
That's crazy. Always, I got a 920. Always... So brainiac.
I don't even know if that's good. That's how little I know about the SATs. I don't even know if that's good or not.
We're just going to stay in that zone of it not being good or bad, I think. So
yeah. Okay. That sounds good. I mean, it doesn't, I feel like that's what I'm getting into though. Like, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I feel like people's character and their souls and what they want to provide for the world matter more about a label. So coming out, I just labeled myself as bisexual. I had a lot of, as we colloquially would call it in our generation of queer people, compet, compulsory heterosexuality or heteronormativity, just believing that the default is straight. And being heterosexual is just common nature. That was kind of my thought process. And then coming to college, I was very nervous about understanding myself and then having to live with someone, not knowing if that thing, that part of my identity would be acceptable or celebrated. And this is going to be so silly, but I'm making a reference to Ted Lasso in the most recent season that came out. Season 3 had a lot of queer themes, and I got to watch it with my parents, and it was really nice to see them grow and understand that labels genuinely mean nothing, and it's about the people that you connect with that is more important. And during one of the characters coming out scenes, the coach Ted Lasso says, I don't want it to seem like we don't care. We do. So it's not that you come out and you have a label for yourself and people care. It's like they care about you as a person. But labels don't add what like your actions and your soul and your intentions can add. So I didn't think about it much. And I just knew like in my gut that there is some reason I must not like romantic things or the idea of a relationship, the idea of getting married and having a family and those things. I always thought I would be alone and kind of be like I forget what they called in the olden days, a spinner.
This is so young of us.
Which
my professor is going to be so like, he's going to be like, you guys don't know that saying?
I don't, but it's funny that we don't know that term, because I feel like that term was also used in a negative connotation for Sapphic women who refused to be in relationships with men, just not breadwinner. I'm so upset that I can't remember it. I pride myself on knowing words. It's fun. Like if you ask my friends, they're doing homework, if they're writing an essay, and they don't know a word, they don't go to thesaurus.com. They call me, and I know the word that they're thinking of. That's besides the point. I eventually understood that the attraction that my friends had for our friends that were guys, or the stranger that was a guy, or someone on TV, I never understood what they were saying. And I always thought, maybe I have a different type of attraction. Maybe I have a different image of the guy that I need to be with. And every time it was a ambiguous looking person, someone who didn't have the traditional structure as men. And eventually I got to the point where like, I really think it's just men in general. I think it's their problem, not me. So once I got that understanding and I felt so comfortable with my current roommate, we're still together 3 years later, she's one of my bestest friends. I was like, hey, like I don't think I like men. And she just kind of sat there and was like, yeah, I didn't think you did either. From how it sounds. And that's something I love about queer community. It's just like an understanding that like you don't have to know yourself 100% of the time to deserve love. You know, you may think that you're one thing and you continue in your life and you have different experiences that maybe impact you or influence you differently, and you change. And although change can be hard, it's inevitable. And we have to be comfortable in that stage of change and understand that, you know, it's not that deep, and we'll lose it. And
I totally agree with that. I think what you said, when you said that the NWSA had like spaces for lesbians and spaces for queer people and that kind of stuff, like that really kind of resonated with me. Like that happens. Like, because so oftentimes you see like, just I personally, as someone who just recently found out they were a lesbian, like there's a lot of spaces and a lot of spaces for gay people, but not necessarily a space, like not necessarily a ton of spaces for lesbians. I think like I saw a study, something one time that said that there was like only a certain number of lesbian bars in the country. And it's under 30. It's insane. And like gay bars, I feel like you see gay bars not often, but more often. So
yeah. And it's important to have those spaces and to feel like a community for as many groups as possible. But when that isn't happening, it's also important to speak up about it.
And then just my last question real quick before we kind of wrap it up. like, how, if at all, did your experience at the NWSA help you amplify your own voice? And also, how can it help you amplify the voices of your queer classmates and your queer peers and those coming after you at Merrimack?
Great question. Thank you. The panel was a collaborative one that I spoke on. It was about, I don't know if I have the full name because it was a long one. Think about feminist conferences. The title is going to be a page long. We love that. That's a favorite. It was about feminist pedagogies and bringing the physical archives to digital spaces as a teaching mechanism, something along those lines. And the project that we worked on, we were taking stories of queer people by queer people from different archives across the country and creating a digital museum and an accessible one where you don't have to pay a fee, you don't have to travel to the capital of your state to go to this very small building that probably won't have anything about you or anything about your identity and those who come before you. And that's super frustrating. And so we put that together and it was a lot of fun. Everyone got to pick their own topic or their own genre. Someone did it on the fine line of queer musicals. My group, we decided to focus on art and arguments, and we discussed different figures from queer liberation that paved the way for us to be around and come to that panel with scholars who have been doing this for years, trying to digitize archives and making them more accessible. It just gives me a lot of hope that although there are book bans for a lot of queer media, especially in higher education, you know, like these things won't go away. And if we get a whole Fahrenheit 51 situation in the next couple of years, computers can last a little bit longer than books, I guess. And it definitely helps students feel comfortable with their own identity, being able to have their assignment work for class that they're taking be about amplifying the voices of the people who came before them. It's really empowering, and I'm very glad that there are some courses like that offered here at Merrimack.
That's great. I also totally interviewed your professor, Dr. Ellen McWhorter, about all of that. So I do know firsthand from a lovely conversation that there are definitely classes.
And it's funny, she is the person I looked up to. She was the first older person who was a lesbian that I knew. And she, you know, gives me a lot of support and I appreciate her a lot. So it's very cool that you were able to speak with.
Yeah. Thank you so much again, Meg, for coming on my podcast today. I really can't thank you enough for your time and all your wonderful insight.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast. I can't wait to hear the final product.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm also totally gonna have to have you on again. I mean, wonderful. Oh, absolutely. Guest, 10 out of 10.
Thank you. I can't wait to hear what the next topic will be about.
Oh, lovely. Probably about, like, honestly, we could do a whole episode on that whole Billie Eilish stuff because them calling out Vanity Fair.
Real.
Yes.
Let's call out our conglomerate media operations. Let's do it.
Perfect. All right. So I guess I'll see you next episode, Meg, because obviously we're not done.
See you next episode.
So. All right. Lovely.
Of course. Thank you. Have a good day.
So yeah, I think today's episode was great. The conversation with Meg really opened my eyes to a lot of things. There were a couple things not in the podcast that we just kind of naturally came up in conversation that I won't share for personally my own reasons, but a lot of the conversation we have today opened the door for more conversation to happen, and it just made me feel more complete as a human being that I'm allowed and able to have that conversation with someone and that connection with someone. So that makes me so happy. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to episode 2 of the Am I Gay podcast. Can't wait to see you guys next week.